Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, and it's Friday. Well, actually, it's Saturday. Lost a day there for a minute. Hold on. We got three Angel Reading Roundtable Saturday, so welcome. We're going to do 2 hours of Angel Readings and chat. So, therefore, you want to join us, please join us. And let me see you in the queue so we can talk to you. Let's see. Also, with the situations of all the things that have been happening lately, we've been talking about a lot of things where people are just putting a lot of things together, and I was going somewhere with that. It kind of skipped my mind. Anyway, we'll sit here and go over a couple things real quick. On this show, we talk about a lot about HemiSync CDs. HemiSync CDs, I actually got the phone number, too. I've been giving out the email at the website, but I got the numbers, too, today. And basically, these are great, really great CDs that can help you meditate. And I actually use them for chakra clearings, meditations, and that kind of stuff. So if you want to give them a go and check it out, go to www.hemi-sync.com, or you can call them straight through at 1-800-541-2488. Again, that number is 1-800-541-2488, or go to the website and It's www.hemi-sync.com. Also, we have another company, too, I deal with a lot. And HemiSync if you're not really familiar with hemi-sync CDs and the technology, it's basically what it is. Underneath the music, they have a tone that, when the brain hears it, it actually helps both hemispheres work together as a unit. So therefore, you have very intense focus and concentration. So it basically helps anything you can think of. I've actually used them for working out, concentration or writing and things like that by having the music in the background or having a headset on. And it just intensifies everything that goes along with the experience. So you really should check it out. And on the website, you can actually get samples of what the music's about. Plus, they also have MP3 downloads, which are cheaper than the CDs themselves. So if you're looking for a cheaper way to go about it, check that out. Also, we have a company called BrainSync, which is actually subliminal CDs. With a little subliminal means basically there's little messages underneath the music that keep repeating themselves over and over again. So it gets into your subconscious mind, which has been, the technology supposedly says it cancels out any negative thoughts because of the positive ones that are being put into your mind. And those CDs are really good too. They have CDs about love attraction and meditations and manifestations and those kind of things. So if you want to check out that company as well, the website is www.brainsync.com. And you can also call them too at 1-800-444-7962. So give that company a check too. And they also have MP3 downloads too that are a whole lot cheaper than the CDs themselves. And they got samplers. And also I actually joined their website as a member. And by doing that, I actually was able to download, I think, 4 free meditational downloads. And they were like between 7 and 11 minutes. So they're not like 1 or 2 minute samples. They're actually full meditations ranging from 7 to 11 minutes. So check that out. And also if you're a person who's trying to get in shape and you want to do some things here, there's a company called NutritionExpress.com. Check those out because you can actually knock off about 25%. Well, actually, it's like $25 off each name brand, international name brands that you find at the health food stores. And, like, you know, we got MuscleTech and just some of the real famous companies. You can actually go to this site and go to this company and save up to 70% on over 5,000 products. So go and check out the website. It's called NutritionExpress.com. You can actually request a catalog, and they got all kinds of brands and all kinds of things in there. So if you're looking at the idea of going and buying supplements or just vitamins and you're paying like $25, check out this company. You can probably get you a nice bottle for like $10. So check that out. So like I said, we're doing free readings tonight, so let's get to the readings and let's see what's all about. Plus, if you guys would like to donate to the show, and we have a donation fund of getting me back to Manitou Springs, Colorado, and support the show fund. So if you'd like to donate, please do so. And for everybody who has, thank you very much, and we appreciate everyone that sings out there. So may God and the angels bless every one of you and every minute of every day, and give love where love is given. So let's go and do our first reading. So it's area code 575. Let's see. How are you? Hello? Are you there? 575. Oops, they're going. Well, that was quick. So everybody out there, if you want to give us a call in here, the number is 646-721-9031. If you have any questions that you want to ask, fine. Please bring them up, and we'll answer any questions you got, financial, relationships, any kind of questions. We've answered all kinds of questions. Trust me on that one. The first time someone called me for a reading and actually asked me if her breasts were going to get bigger, that's kind of a crazy question, but it did happen. And there's actually more other questions that have been asked, a little more explicit than that, so we won't bring them up, but they have crossed the airway. So if you have any questions, doesn't matter what it is, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Also, with the situation, if you actually want to get a private session with me, please give us a call at 740-601-1057. Or you can give me a call on my Skype number, which is 740-601-9835. And you can also contact me through my website, which is www.psychic, www.yolasite.com. And it's one of those things I tell people, when you go check out the website and you see all the prices, don't let the prices stand in your way of getting your reading. Give me a call. If you have an offer that you want to throw on the table, please do so, because you never know, because I've never turned anybody away. So give us a call so we can talk to you and see what's up. So give us a call at 740-601-1057 or 740-601-9835 for private readings. Or contact me through my website, which you can go to the contact page. And that website, again, is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And I'll actually even put it into the, if I can find, let me put that information also in the chat room so you can all see it. Let me download that real quick. Got the copy. Let's see, chat room. Everybody in the chat room, if you have any questions here too. Precious 11. I don't know if you're still with us. I don't see him anywhere, but okay. Anybody in the chat room, anybody else wants to get a reading, who's listening out there, please give us a call at 646-721-9031. We put the information in the chat if you want to give a call for the private reading. And I also put in the website, which I didn't realize was there. It wasn't there. Let's see. Yeah, Ruth, I can also do a private, I can do a reading for you. Because there's somebody in the chat. There was nobody in the queue either. That I, well, last time I was up there anyway. Let's see. Also join us later tonight at midnight when we do our midnight show called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Midnight, when we have all the mics open and we all talk freely when we're doing the reading, so therefore you can actually give your insights on readings if you're an amateur reader. Or if you're a professional reader, you just want to give your insights in a nice, relaxed atmosphere where you don't have to sit there and worry about making any money and stuff. You can just sit there and do them. Plus, it's what we call roundtable because it's the idea we do topics that you can actually bring to the table yourself. So join us tonight at midnight for 2 hours of nothing but angel readings and conversation about whatever. So let's see. And there's the website, www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And Precious 11, if you're there in the chat room, please give us a call. The number is 646-721-9031. We'd be glad to do a reading for you. You just called. Okay, nope. Well, give us another call, Precious 11. Let me back in the chat. Yeah, give us another call. Call us down. I guess really, it's one of those things, guys. I don't like typing, and you can see why, because it takes me a while to figure it out. So, go back. Let's go back. We got some callers. Okay, we got Max Joy. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are on the air. Okay. Welcome. And what's your name? And
My name is Maggie Kalis. I'm from Long Island. And I came across you today after just kind of coming across a couple of different things. And then I wanted to see what was on Blog Radio. So there you are. I had
I just had a very huge
transitional period, and I don't know, I just felt like today seemed like a day to perhaps get a little guidance. I do a lot of my own spiritual work, but, you know, when you're in the thick of it, you don't always get your guidance so clear. I could do it for everybody else easily. And I just kind of was feeling it out here. Today kind of felt like that kind of day. I was on the beach today alone and just sensing a few things. And I'm feeling like a new opening is coming because I've had just all kinds of stuff that just happened in my entire area of life. And now I'm feeling like, what's coming up? I have fun.
So how's your I was going to try to say this real quick. So how's your intuition? Is it kicking in a lot better than it did before?
I had like a sort of a dead period a little bit. I mean, I had really been tuned in, and then I kind of feel like I'm wanting it to tune up now. It hasn't been like it was because I had a lot of stressful things going on that sort of affected my vibration, but I've had fantastically good things in the transition take place as far as, you know, cutting away some old and some really good stuff showing up. But I also still feel like I haven't got a complete picture on some on my direction. Although, yeah, the pieces fell into place, but go ahead.
So, okay, so you have some things that are not too clear with you yet. So with the process of your transition, are you actually working and doing a lot of things with chakra clearings and meditation, stuff like that?
I meditate every day. I'm a big meditation advocate, and I do all kinds of different types of meditation depending upon, you know, what I feel like that day, that moment that I might need. I did a really great Kundalini meditation, activated my Kundalini, which actually initiated a lot of the change that came about, which, as I said, it was pretty much in my relationship, the work I was doing, things that were falling away. A lot of stuff happened from that. A single mom of a 12-year-old daughter. I have an older daughter. I've gone through a lot of things. I'm going to be 49 years old. I don't know, I've met the love of my life on 3,000 miles away on Twitter. but you know what? Everything still seems like it's like everything that was wasn't, and now everything is changed. I'm kind of waiting for what was my highest, you know, step next. I feel like there's something more for me that I should be tuning into. And I've been doing this kind of work for a while. I'm a Reiki master. I feel very comfortable helping people. But everything I was in, it hasn't always clicked in that sense of feeling like, oh, this is it. I mean, I know what feels good, and I love teaching about spirituality, what has been brought to me. But yet I still don't know how I don't resonate with all of the different ways that I have come across in doing that. And so I'm like, is this, you know, am I supposed to be doing this or not?
It's one of those situations financially, sometimes it kind of falls short.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very blessed because I've really manifested, you know, some work in the way that I wanted to, that I could be flexible and I could, I completely created a job that I never had before. I'm the kind of person that will dive into something brand new and learn it and then get good at it and then, it may not be my forever, but whatever I did, it's good. Mm-hmm. And I just did something like that, and it's kind of coming to an end, and I feel a little bit like, what's next?
Well, sometimes in this situation, it's just the anticipation. What is next? And then being open to the whatever is. You know, we were saying about this before. Sometimes the manifestations and working on things and that kind of stuff, sometimes we can't get too detailed about the whole thing that we're focusing on. Being specific about a certain situation where we don't realize that there's something else out there that could be 10 times better for us,
exactly.
That's just not in the radar. Yeah, so it's like opening up the idea of this. What I did was, because realistically, listening to your story is almost like listening to my own, where it was just like the ideal of being put in situations and even saying, okay, God and angels, if this is what I'm supposed to do, then it's even specifying a couple of places where I wanted to do it at. And if it happened, that was a sign for me that's what I was supposed to be doing. And so all those things happened. But in the process of going through all the situations, I still have certain things that didn't pan out and that kind of stuff. And it was just the idea of tracing things back to really focusing too much on money and not really focusing on the service. And then trying to maintain that, where I wouldn't be pulled out of that, where I would sit there and go, okay, today I don't care what I make. I just want to sit down and do what I love to do the most, and that's work with people and do readings and that kind of stuff. And those are the days I made the most.
Exactly.
You know, which is just trying to get stuff in that format. But I've also, along the way, I've acquired a lot of things that are just, some people could look at them as separate things that are separate from the whole thing, but I look at them, they're all the same. They're all part of the whole. They're all part of who I am. So they all have a tendency to come into play no matter what. For example, I've actually done readings for people with cards and stuff like that and done spreads one time. And that, and then after I did that one spread for that one couple, I've never done that spread again.
Exactly.
So it's the idea, you know, sometimes it's the idea that when we go through the process, it's the idea of making sure we're cutting loose these other things that no longer exist.
Situations. Right.
And memories and that kind of stuff. And sometimes the hardest part about the whole thing is we think that even the positive memories we should hang on to, but they could actually keep us from what's going to happen to us and what's coming into our lives in the future. So it's the idea of remembering yesterday's gone. It's dead.
Yeah, release is, it's funny about that because there is a, it's never just so black and white. You know, there are just so many layers. And then every day, you know, for me, I always feel blessed because every day, I try to take every day as an opportunity to, you know, manifest my life. So I, as much as I realize I don't know what's coming, and but I'm open to whatever it is. And I know it's good because I put that, you know, intent out. But
uh-huh.
I don't know. I felt like I was in some kind of this bubble today. I said I just came across a few different things locally here on it was a woman who I read a post that she wrote on orbs. Now, I've always had all interest in I like science, I like spiritual. I'm a very interested person about like life, you know, and the mechanisms of life and love and you know what makes us be. And so I always, you know, find that interesting when I see mainstream news on things like orbs, because I've been, you know, orbs in my life for a long time. I used to just see them, notice them, call upon them, get them pictures, and to tell people, and they'd write that I was nuts. And here she had this whole entire article, and she had a blog, and then so she was on blog radio, and I listened to her thing, and she did something local here, and then another psychic woman who she did some work with. So as I said, I came here today, but I was so like, I almost felt like maybe I missed my peeps or something. I don't know. I enjoyed being around, you know, those people who were open.
Mm-hmm.
To, and it's not, I'm not always in that circle, even though I have people who come to me that are seeking to learn.
Uh-huh.
But for me today, I just felt like, well, I don't know, I'm going to do this. I've never made a phone call to any kind of radio station. So I just was wanting to see if maybe there was a message for me or some kind of signpost that I, or affirmation or some type of thing that I could use.
Well, one thing I was going to give you is the idea of opening up the possibilities of whatever can be, will be. With a thing that I had, that I did the exact same thing, where I was kind of looking at the situations and feeling the same way, wherein my granddaughter was here not too long ago, so I had to hide everything. So she has since been getting everything in any. Wow. Sad.
I'm sorry.
Where are you? Where are you?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, okay. I for a minute I couldn't.
Yeah, I heard this big old coming in. Was that you?
No, I was listening and then the sound went.
Oh, okay. That was weird.
Anybody?
No, the thing goes,
maybe someone's come in.
Well, sometimes with the situation we have to sit and go, okay, God and angels and everyone's around us, protecting us right now. Please surround us with protection. So if there's any other outside sources that are trying to interfere with anything that's going on, please prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
And the thing I was focusing on here is I would focus, visualize, feel it, and then I would say this. this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. So see, you're focusing and say, okay, I want this, but if there's something better for me, I'm also open to that as well. So bring it on. And just opening all the doors and stuff. But, you know, one thing I saw today was this lady was talking to, and she was like, I don't feel I'm as successful as everybody else. And I said, well, first of all, quit judging your success by everybody else and start looking at the situation, what you have attained. And have you reached your goals? Do you feel successful? Don't try to sit there and basically determine the definition of what success is by someone else's definition. You know, it's the idea of looking at your own self and say, okay, well, how do I feel right now? And today is one of those days we call, one thing used to come to me when I was working in my shop, when I was sitting there and go, okay, I'm not making any money today, or nothing's happened today, or I'm just sitting here. My angels would come to me and say, okay, what is going on today? You've been working your butt off for the last 3 days, so nothing's happening today, so look at it for what it is. Just sit here, socialize, have a good time, because this is only one day out of 365 days. And the rest of the year, you can be so successful that you can't put all the emphasis on just this one day of obtaining all that you think you should be. It's the idea of appreciating. It's the idea of appreciating who you are at this moment.
Right. No, I've learned that too. You know, we have belief systems that we grow up with, and some of those things tell us that things have to happen in a certain way, or, you know, like we think about 9 to 5 or having linear or week-to-week paycheck, or, you know, what makes us, you know, good providers and that kind of stuff, or the type. Someone told me, when are you going to get a real job? Because I've been working independently. I do marketing, and I try to help people help themselves. That's my little tag. And I do that in different ways. I mean, I have gifts. You know, I don't just say I have one gift. And whatever that gift is in that moment, it always feels like it's all inclusive. It's like they're not separate. They all come into play. And so, like for me, I just had this project and I worked on it for 6 months. I didn't get paid for it. I mean, but I'm gonna get paid. It's gonna be a lump sum. So I had to adjust. I felt extremely abundant because I'm gonna get this huge check, and I managed to you know, the universe blessed me the whole time that I managed to pay my bills. Everything happened, maybe not the way I had in my mind during my life at one point. So like you talk about releasing some stuff to just be like, the old way of doing things is over, you know. And I'm the type of person, I am open to, if not this, something better. Absolutely, I do. It's one of my mantras too that I put out. You know, I'm always in the right place at the right time. It's all unfolding just as it should. You know, I've been there. All of this work, I get it. You know, I get how it works. I like being in it. Life is good this way. You know, my eyes are open to a lot of things. I see in the world, you know, where the world could work in a much more beautiful way if people were more in tune to this. But, you know, I'm not feeling nervous. It just happened to feel like I felt almost like pointed, and I wound up here today. So if I'm saying I followed my guidance, here I am.
Right.
So that's why I was like, either there's something, because I found quite often that in my own life, in all areas, sometimes I can't always hear or see or really conclude. It's almost like if you try to do like a pendulum for your own, you know, big answers, you can't really get it because you're too close. But you can be, you know, very easily really insightful for someone else and very tuned in, and you can all that. So it's not that I don't feel tuned in. I just sometimes, you know, well, at least in this moment of today, that I didn't feel completely tuned in with me. Or maybe I could have just been in this, you know, void of a space, but something is coming. And I can't, you know, I don't sense it yet, but I feel something. And then I should say, and I wound up here doing this today. So I feel like this. I'm in the right place at the right time. So, I don't know what's your name. I'm sorry. This is completely new to me. I don't even see if you have a name on here.
Yeah. Yes, I do have a name.
Wait, you have a name. I mean, on the site. I'm looking at your site.
On this site, I'm actually called Psychic X Journeyman, but my friends call me Donnie.
Oh, okay.
So when I sit here and look at the situation, like I said before, it's like a life of mine playing itself out through somebody else and looking at it from a different perspective. And it's cool when you do that kind of stuff because you can look at the situation and go, okay, you just don't give up what you're doing and that kind of thing for one day that didn't sound or didn't feel like it was. And I just sit there and go over these things so many times. I was saying, okay, what am I not doing right? And it might be simply that I just didn't do a certain meditation, or maybe I didn't go and look at a certain book that I felt earlier that I was prompted to do so. Or maybe just the ideal. Like the biggest thing I've been getting right now is because I was sort of listening to you as you're talking about going through this whole thing. There's some days you just feel like, okay, am I supposed to be doing this or not? And then there's somebody walked in the shop, and I do a reading for them. They look at me and go, you are so gifted, and this is what you're supposed to be doing, and thank you so much. And it's just like a, ooh.
Right.
Okay, that was an answer. And it's just what the biggest, I guess, how do I put this? It's like I look at the situation. The biggest thing I've been getting lately is that you need to let go and let things play out and fall into place the way they're supposed to, instead of trying to dictate what you think they're supposed to do. Because even the process of going through these processes and doing just that, there are little niches here and there that we still are still trying to make those go the way we want them to.
Yeah, we have that. That other thing we grew up with is trying to control everything.
Yeah, and we don't realize that the control that we're looking for, I guess the answer we're looking for, is the ideal that when you're cruising down that river, maybe you're not grabbing a hold of the branches, but you're still grabbing a hold of the roots. So, you know, you've still got that part of you that's still rooted into the bank that you need to let go of so you can continue your trip down the river. Because, like I tell everybody else, yeah, it's the river. People are thinking, going, we could do the anticipation of all the bad things that are going to happen to us. But in the process of going down that river, what is really going on at that moment is serenity. So we also have this thing, we also have this dead bend in our head too, that we always got to be doing something or we're just not a productive person. And this is basically traced back to conditioning and stuff of the world in itself.
Right.
That the world is still trying to dictate your success by little things that you're still hanging on to. Even if it's just the idea of money and the concept of money of how you were taught. It could be, like for example, there was a lady I knew that had been told one time that she would never amount to nothing. Just that one time stuck with her for 30 years.
Mm. No, it's...
You know, it was like... Go ahead.
That's a powerful force. You know, I always tell people, I said, you can't make anybody be anything, but you're a powerful influence, and you have to really be careful with your words and that energy, because it penetrates. If someone else is not aware and they just let it in, it just can go right, like you're saying, to the core. And that... Someone like that, you know, if you're saying for 30 years, it meant somebody, whoever said that, you know, she maybe trusted or was open to, and then it went right to the core of her being, you know. What's the hardest?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the hardest ones to get to let go of, because they were actually taught to us by someone we trusted. So we, you know, like coming to the terms and like realizing, okay, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like it's attached to something.
Right.
Like when we look at cops and nurses and doctors and stuff like that, we have a tendency to give them respect that they really don't deserve because we're not looking at the person. We're
right.
looking at the position. We've been taught that when we're, you know, you respect people in certain positions. And so it's kind of hard to see the bad because of the position.
Yeah. Well, we do that at all different things that were sort of like the judging. You know, we make judgment calls on a surface and don't really... You know it's true. We do that all over the place. You know, with, I think in our society, it's sort of, it's almost like this game we play. And you know, we're all walking around. You know, it's a. This is how I would see it, like zombies, or you know, like you know, an autopilot, and nobody even knows what they're doing or saying. They just do. You know, behave in these ways because of this conditioning. We go on autopilot, and all the conditions just run themselves, you know. All the old thoughts.
Right, because everybody's using the law of attraction. It's just the idea of taking intentions.
Right, and they don't know it. And, you know, they always say, well, they don't know it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Spontaneously, law of attraction, saying all that negative stuff. And I'm like, I tell you, it's like looking at people and going, okay, have you heard today what you just said? Because that's basically what's dictating your what's coming out, you know, what your life, how your life is going to be. And they're like, how's that? Well, realistically, just take a look at it. Here's your life. This is what you're saying. If you look at it real closely, you'll notice they match. And then when you tell your friends, you tell your mother, your father, you keep reaffirming it. And you can't wonder. You keep wondering how come you keep spinning your tires. You're not getting anywhere. It's because of you. And I was telling this one lady, and it was kind of funny too. I was there trying to. She was like, "I'm on the spiritual quest. I did that for 6 months, and I should be good to go, right?" I said, "Oh, the hell does that mean?" I said, "I didn't even put it that way. But it was just the way she came across." I just kind of looked at her and said, "Do you know what spirituality is? It's a progression that's going to last the whole lifetime.
It's our life.
You know? Yeah. Everything is worrying. And she's sitting there going, "I was doing this meditation." She said she was working with Kan Yin, which is a very powerful energy to work with. And she said she was working with that energy source, and she was also making peaches or something. I can't remember what it was. But she's doing all these three things at the same time. And she's going, I said, "You are trying to convince me that you're doing all this spiritual stuff, but you're not giving the spiritual stuff 100%. You're still interacting with your life when you should, in the process of honoring yourself, you should give yourself that time where you're focusing on nothing but that situation, the meditation or whatever it is at that time, and then stew your tomatoes later or your peaches or whatever." But in the process of doing those things, those are very powerful situations, but they're also times for yourself, and you're not allowing that to happen. And then she said, "Well, that's the problem." Yes, well, are the problem, because you are making the decisions. These are things that are happening, and she just would not listen and say, "Well, I'm doing the spiritual thing. I'm doing the meditation." Okay, I understand that, but one thing doesn't reflect is the progress that you're going through. It just does not reflect everybody else. So just take a look at it and find it. And I was just like, okay, you're right. You got to go and find out how to do that on your own.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is, and we all at one point, you know, I think when you get to some place that you make this very firm decision, and you might do it unconsciously, you might do it not, you might be doing it without just saying, "Well, I'm going to make this decision." Like it hits one of those sort of aha moments, some kind of clarity that comes. And in that very moment, you see something you had not seen before, and all of a sudden you question. You know, it's like that's when the true question, and I think that's the best part. I mean, and that journey could start, you know, when you're 60 or when you're 14 or, you know, any time in your life, you know, we're moving through all of this, and everybody's got a different story about when that might have really stood at like a pinnacle point. You know, for me, all right, my mother died when I was 23, and that might have been, that for me felt like that said something to me, you know. And I didn't get all the answers, you know, and I still don't have any. You know, to me, I still keep asking the questions, and I just now am able to open up more and more. And I always use this analogy, like when you go to the optometrician, you know, where they put that lens on, they say, this or the other, better or worse, you know, they flip that lens. And I say, that to me, that's the journey. You keep flipping a lens, you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And every time you flip that lens, something else is there. And if you just go on the journey, 6 months, something new, 6 months more, something every day. I mean, for me, it's a moment to moment every day. I mean, you don't know when that flip of the lens is going to happen, and you're just going to see something you didn't see before. And that's the beauty of it. You know, what I also like is that once you start flipping the, you can't go backwards. It doesn't shut off. You know, the work, I always tell people, you got to do the work. Nobody else is going to do this for you. You know, you got to do that work. But once you do that work, it's done. It's just that part of that work never has to be done again. It's always new work. Because if you actually, you know, put it into action, I always say application was the hardest part. Like I could concepts and, you know, I could sit and read and go into philosophies and all kinds of things, you know, consider all kinds of stuff. But then the practice, the actual putting it into application is the work. Like she might go to meditation, she might understand all this, but to actually truly embrace it, I mean, you know, sort of like my Reiki work, you know, and energy work, and I, although I teach it traditionally, because I have all this other, you know, knowledge and wisdom, whatever insight, whatever has come to me about it, is it's not it. you know, that is just, it's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, once you go on this journey of realization, you get this bag of goodies that you keep adding to. And so every step of the way mm-hmm. is a new way. You know, it's not one way. And you just keep enhancing it. And, you know, it's like an amplifier. And these, all the little tiny pieces, I would feel like whatever little tiny pieces of the infinite universe come together for you. Because you're the one creating that, you know. This is your little world that you're creating. In that awareness that you can actually do that. You know, someone else just says, I'm stressed, my life is like this, I want meditation, or I can't meditate. You know, they've got all of the stuff that they don't even know that they're fully responsible for their experience. Good, bad, or different.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about yesterday, trying to get some people different insights, the whole thing. 100% accountability for your life, and giving an example of that of a woman who had been raped and beat up and left for dead, and then when she said that she took 100% responsibility for what happened, people about freaked out and said, okay, how can you do that? But this guy did this to you. And she said, if I would have listened to my guidance and my angels, this would have never happened. So therefore, I have to take responsibility for my decisions to basically override that, to go try to sell somebody a house, that money was more important than even me. So I had to change all that, look at it differently, and take 100% accountability and say, okay, if I made the decision that put me in that situation, does it mean we take any kind of thing away from the guy who did what he did? Yeah. No, he is, and he did what he did. But in the process of the situation, he's always been that. He's always done that in certain situations where he's done it 3 or 4 times. And then he finally got caught. But what she's doing is taking responsibility for the situation she put herself into, where she would never cross paths with this guy if she just would have listened. Because she even said, even when I was walking up the sidewalk to go to the house, they were still telling me to turn around and walk and go home, and I wouldn't do it. So yeah. Who can I blame in this situation? Rapist, of course. And he should be punished accordingly. But, you know, he still made it.
It's true. I mean, it's very hard for people to see it. When you see the worst of the circumstances, you know, it's a very rigid thinking that will say, how could that innocent child, or, you know, and you know that it's a horrific situation that might take place, you know, and we don't realize that even for young people, that the power of influence that we have over them is that they vibrationally pick up our own worries and concerns and that kind of stuff. And they don't know that they're actually having this, they're resonating with that. And so things come into their experience, not that they're sitting around ever asking for it, or even in their own guidance, because they do have their guidance. We kind of teach them to not listen, you know, in much of the upbringing society that we have, like in their earlier, unless you're in one of those very, you know, open households where, you know, your parents allow, you know, encourage you to listen to your inner, you know, that inner being for what's good.
Well,
you know, because we all have it.
Well, we do have a tendency to do that. We teach our kids to, what do you feel? Go with your feelings. But then we go on the other side and put something in there that kind of blocks off that whole thing. Like, you know, don't talk to strangers. I said, no, don't talk to strange people. Because use your intuition. Who's strange and who's not? You know, because everybody you ever met in your whole life was a stranger at one time. So that's kind of a bad message to give your kids, isn't it? Don't talk to any strangers. That kid's going to be a very long, lonely kid. I'll just say with a situation. And then I've had situations where people come to me and say, hey, you know something? When you're a kid and you get yourself in a situation, like your father molested you and that kind of stuff, they have a tendency to still, as an adult, they want to use it as an excuse why their life isn't the way it is. And the reason I say that, because I've actually talked to at least one person I can think of right now, who, when she was 8 years old, she was molested by a neighbor's father. Now, she said that she already had a feeling, and she came from a metaphysical family, and she had that feeling that she should not go there, she should not do that, because she felt like what was going to happen, and she didn't listen to herself. So it was one of those things of, you know, I guess it's one of those things I always try to sit there and help people and say, you don't think angels and guides exist? You don't think your intuition's kicking in all the time? So ask yourself the last time you were heading down the road and something told you to take a different alternate route and you found out you missed an accident or you missed a situation that could have been bad for you. at that moment, you were listening to your guidance. You didn't know it. You just kind of like, okay, I heard the voice. It said do this. And now we put a title on it. Now you want to sit here and dismiss it. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But we do have a tendency to teach the right things, but we also have a tendency to put the worldly thing on it.
Yeah,
it kind of cancels
true.
Up. But, yeah.
It's good, yeah, because that clarity, you know, of really, you know, following that instinct and to have to trust in it. You know, that, you know, what seems maybe, because sometimes it conflicts with what seems to be, and you know, I have definitely seen where people are so concerned about what people think and like a much more exterior view of things that they will ignore something that's actually happening there, like in a family situation where it becomes very difficult for the person who wants to communicate, you know, a feeling that they're having in advance that gets rude. Like if they were to express that they felt that way about somebody's father, you know, that was disrespectful,
right.
You know.
I understand that one.
Yeah. I had a feeling about one of my daughter's friends, a new girl that showed up, and this is the first time I ever felt anything like that with, you know, any of the kids. And I said to her, I said, You're just going to have to trust me. I'm telling you, I got not a good feeling here. And you know, I just need you to have your eyes open with this girl. I said, and this is between me and you. I mean, I feel like I had to just say it. You know, for a mother to be like, I have no reasoning to give you, but I have a feeling.
I just, you know, one thing I was trying to touch on there for a minute, too. We was actually working with a friend of mine last night because of some, those tornadoes they had out there in Joplin. It was on the national news and stuff about they were having tornadoes and stuff, and there was this missing boy. And from what I heard, the boy was found, but when he was found, they didn't reach him in time. And my friend was kind of freaked out about the whole situation because they had picked up some information about the whole situation and stuff, and they relayed it to the people and tried to get the information across and that kind of stuff, but it didn't work out the way they was hoping to. And even I gave some insight on the whole thing where I thought for a fact there was going to be where they were going to find him. But there was also some kind of niching in my head that also said they might not reach him and they might not find him because they were actually looking in the wrong place.
Mm.
And plus, I just felt like there was also a little bit of arrogance with the whole thing of using, as you know, some professional people have a tendency, well, you know, I've got the training, you know, and a lot of us do, but it's kind of funny, too, to hear cops talk about it and people listen to my gut feelings and stuff like that, but when it comes to certain things that they're trying to do, they always go by the book, and then realize later on they should have trusted their gut feeling on the whole thing. They would have panned out a whole lot quicker or better, and I just felt like that was what was going on here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to talk to this lady, too, and tell her that you shouldn't feel bad about it because the information that you had and that you obtained from your stepdaughter and everybody else and sent it to them to say you did your job, you did what you did, you picked the information up, you sent it, but you also had some other people on the other side that just wasn't too sure about it and that kind of stuff. So that kind of also affects the situation where it might have been a little bit different than it did.
Right.
So it didn't. And it's just you don't give up on your abilities and all the things that are going on at that moment. You just don't give up on those things. It's just the idea of looking at it as a situation of realizing that maybe you missed out on some things like that too, but it could also be down. The bottom line is all you can do is pass on the messages and hope it reaches the people and they utilize it in the correct manner. And if they don't, that's not your fault.
Exactly.
Of course, it can be emotional and painful and stuff like that, but that's just part of it. That's just part of it. Believe me, I've been in situations of suicides and that kind of stuff where I had a lady call my line one night I was working for, and what the lady did was you come on the line and she goes, I want you to tell me something right now so I won't kill myself. And I thought she was joking, so I said, okay, thank you, no pressure there. And she goes, no, I'm serious. And all of a sudden, that's where I realized that she was serious. And and this was one of those things of somebody else trying to live up to the expectations of somebody else on themselves and just wasn't reaching that person's expectations. So she thought she was a bad person, so she wanted to basically kill herself because she felt like she should have been better, not realizing you can only be as good as you are. And she basically took a shot of before I even talked to her and died on the line. So,
oh my
gosh.
Like
yeah, these things happen. But, you know, I didn't work for 3 days. But I was just like, okay, I called a friend and said, okay, do a reading for me. And if you got to lie to me, tell me that they found this lady. And she was like, I don't have to lie to you. They did find her. But it was kind of experience, you know?
Wow. That's a lot to carry on this show. That's amazing.
I'm just saying, you learn from those situations and realize at that moment, because I would say 2 hours before that, a guy called me on the line and said he's going to kill himself too. And I said, well, that's too bad. And he goes, why is that? I said, well, you and your girlfriend are getting back, but you know something? You're dead. So I guess you don't need that information anymore, do you? And he's like, oh, I never thought about it that way. They didn't think. It's just when there's things you think, you know, it's just learning experiences, how to deal with things like that. I've also been in abusive relationships where I was being abused too. And I think the reason I was put in this situation is so I have a different outlook on things. So when people cross my path, I can look at it more objectively and be more compassionate because I've been through it.
Right. I absolutely agree that, you know, I feel very thankful for all of the challenges that I've come to in my life. I've seen a lot of things. I've had, just a lot of things that other people don't have, you know, but I used to at one point feel cursed a little bit with it, but I realized the blessings that come out of that. And I still do, you know, actually, I was fine. I'm looking for right now, after the big tree, the big dead tree fell, I'm looking for, you know, what's that new sprout that's going to come up. I don't ask, you know, I don't say, I know it is. I say, you know, I'm curious as what is it, you know, the anticipation of it is delightful, you know, because I do know that it's not even going to be one. I'm sure that like a bunch of new sprouts will pop up and things I never could have even figured out if I tried will show itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of, you know, a nice thing about that. But so I didn't know why I called it today. Mostly I just felt guided, you know, I had all these little synchronistic things that were happening today that led me to your show.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for chatting with me.
I'm just saying, I just feel like it's one of those things where people out there should be listening to the conversation, how things are panning out, because I just feel like if you're out there and you're crossing the paths and that's going on for you right now, that all this information is coming to you for a reason. So I hope you all take it in, and all the people out there that are listening and not too sure how to call in, the number is 646-721-9031. We're just sitting here talking to our friend here. And it was a very nice conversation. It was really nice talking to you. And
thanks, Tommy. Yeah. Same here.
I helped you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what? It just feels good. You know, I feel like, you know, I would say a friend in light, you know, maybe just affirming I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Like I said before, I was listening to the whole situation, listening to you as you were telling the story. I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy because, I mean, I've gone through the same thing, still going through the same thing. And, you know, there are some things where I feel like I should be more and there should be other things going on. So the other day I was questioning, as I was doing a reading for somebody, and like I tell people before, I love doing readings, but sometimes there are certain people who call me up and ask me the craziest questions, and I just ask myself, why? Why would you want to call me up after a guy who's basically done you in 3 times, who's left you for your best friend, or just left you for another woman, and the first thing you ask yourself is, when's he coming back? And I just want to sit there and, you know, like, look at myself and say, is there something I can tell this woman to help her understand that the problem is not him, the problem is her, that she needs to look at herself and ask herself, what does she really want? Instead of just accepting what has been dropped in her lap because of how she used to think. And I've actually had a reading like that with a lady. I told her flat out. I was like, you know, I'm having a hard time with this one. She goes, why is that? I said, I'm not really sure how to proceed with this because I just don't think you're going to listen. And she was like, really? That's pretty honest. I said, I'm just saying, you know, been trying to question over my head about 3 times. I've got the information, but just something about you just tells me that you're looking for something. You're not looking for the truth. You're looking for someone to basically confirm what you think it's all about when that's not what it works. You got to sit there. I told her, you're a person who looks at the signs and you try to take your decisions you've already made and pound it into that situation. So, okay, the sign means this. Instead of looking at what signs are for, it's to help you realize if you're going in the right direction or not. And it was just, you know, I try to be as straightforward and as honest as I can with people. And sometimes you can be a little bit skittish because you don't know how it's going to be.
Yeah, received.
Yeah, received. But I got to stick to the guns and say, okay, this is the way it works. You might not like what I'm going to say, but at least you won't be in the dark about it. You might not like me for a minute, but that's not my concern. I think we have a lot of things about that too, where in the metaphysical community right now, we have a lot of people who are thinking, you know, what's this person going to think about me? So therefore, they have a tendency to tone and filter their readings instead of giving the information that they really need to tell those people flat out. You are going the wrong direction. You are with the wrong person. And that's what they want to hear anyway. Maybe they don't like it, but they do want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
Even the people, most people want to hear the truth.
You know, at the core, they do. Part of the readings that I had done, I had became an angel therapy practitioner with Doreen Virtue and
Yeah, woman.
Yeah, and it was really, I mean, I just had my sister and I, since my mother passed, we had always did angel readings with each other because she and I were like soulmates. You know, we have this connection all these years, and I had this old deck of cards that I used to use, and then I like Doreen's stuff because people like the colors and the images and stuff. But then one of the things I liked, I resonated with the angel cards, was because one, it helps people that they want to know. It's like they already know the answer, like they just need to have it somewhere confirmed in their heart, you know. So the angels to me always brought a very soothing, a higher energy about the way the angle, you know, that the answer or the enlightenment or the little pat, you know, little love that came along with it. So I always liked that aspect to it. When we had studied, we had tried several different layers of psychic ability. People have passed over, you know, even using different types of cards to row, whatever. And I'm like, I'm okay with anything. If you can use that tool, you know, to help someone, I'm okay with that. You know, I just happened to personally feeling the difference. I liked when we channeled Archangel Michael. You know, I liked that feeling of love that streamed through, you know. And I always felt like every time I've ever done a reading that is what people leave with. Because I feel like only love is real. Everything else is an illusion, you know. And we get to that core. And somehow, angel cards, you know, they just, it's not the cards. It's not any of that. It's just... It's like they relax a little bit that resistance and let it in. What as you were saying before, like you know you've got this for them, just like you know the angels are there, they got it for you, and they've got it for them too, but they're not letting it in. Now they're calling you to tell you know for you to tell them something because they've been asking the question. Their angels are ready to tell them. Maybe they're coming to them in a dream, or maybe they're having like little, you know, insights along the way that they deny when they come. Most of the time people would say, I already knew that.
Oh my God.
I'd say, well, good. Now you know, it's, you know, that your instincts are true. But
yeah, because I've done the same thing too with my angel cards. And I'm telling people, I was like, you know, the angel cards are good and they're cool. And I've actually had people complain that they were too positive. Like,
yes.
They're like, there has to be some negativity. I was like, well, in a sense, I guess you could be right, but I'm sitting there going, don't sit there and denounce the cards because they're so positive, because what they're trying to do is give you an outcome of what we're all looking for, because in the situation in Jesus' life, there was a lot of negativity too, and some of the things that happened too, but look at the outcome. So I think it's the outcome kind of says it all.
Yeah. And then, you know, I would say, well, from their perspective, it's all good. We're the ones with the perspective that something's, you know, wrong, something's negative or bad or, you know. So, you know, like in Tarot, you do get those archetypes that show what we interpret as negatives or positives, you know, when you see a death card or, you know, something. And so it's almost like straight to the point of, you know, and I always think about it as resonance. In my work, I can only manage so much. So I honor you for doing this kind of work and opening yourself up. Because I ask for only bringing me those people who are ready to receive what it is I have. You know what's going to come through for them. Because I don't want to twist anybody's arm. You know I don't want. I want to give it to you if you want it. You know, that's it.
Right.
And you know, so that's what you learn, like the resonance that someone has, you know, of whether or not you can tune in. If they can't hear you, they can't hear you, you know, and it's just, you can't, that's it. You can only, like the whole, you can only take the horse to the water type of thing. So that's why I always felt like, at least with the angels, sometimes it would enable them to raise their vibration a little bit, relax, allow it in, you know. But that's why I was going to meditate. I said, listen, if you can't hear it from me, sit quietly for 5 minutes every day until it comes to you on your own, you know.
Yeah, that's when people talk about having trouble meditating and that kind of stuff. I'm like, well, so, you know, what you're doing is you're also looking at somebody else who out there meditating, and they're meditating for 20 to 2 hours, or, you know, that kind of thing. But that, I'm pretty sure if you talk to those people, you'll find out they've worked up to that. They didn't start out that way, you know. And even if you did find somebody who did work out that way, I still think that you would still find a progression there some way. Maybe it was just bigger jumps and bigger strides, but still, it started somewhere.
Exactly.
That's what I try to talk. A lot of people saying, okay, why don't you just go home and just practice breathing, intentional breathing, and ask yourself, how do you feel? Because I've actually talked to a couple of psychics that I've worked with before, and they were listening to me do a show on breathing, and they were like, oh, that's kind of funny, because I've actually been doing this for work for a very long time, and I started doing the breathing thing, and all of a sudden the messages started getting clearer for me. So it makes perfect sense.
It's true. The light worker sometimes, you know, forgets to do maintenance on themselves.
Ain't that the truth? And isn't that one of the easiest things to realize? Okay, I'm kind of like, today things are not setting with me right. And then you realize, oh, okay, I know what it is. I always feel great in the mornings because I do a certain thing, and then I didn't do that. And it's something, sometimes it's just a simple little thing. And like I said, when I found that one thing where it says this or something, you know, better is now manifesting for me, and I found that in a book, and I was like, it's kind of funny how you find those things when you're looking for something else, and another little thing on the whole thing where you feel like, I need to put a little more into this, or I need to let go, or something like that. It's the point of finding other meditations on more on letting go, letting go, letting go. And I was like, okay, how come I found these things? I actually did it down in Florida. I was near Daytona Beach, and I walked into this library, and I didn't realize they had all these freaking DVDs and CDs and meditations and Dr. Wayne Dreyer and all these things, and I was like actually trying to save the money to buy, and there they was, and all I had to do was take them home. And I was like, how come those two things line up at the same time? We could all sit and say, you know, it's just a coincidence and that kind of stuff, but it seemed like it actually happened just when I was looking for something with more information, or even wanting to experience those books and stuff, and there they was. And they had a whole slew of them. I was kind of flipped out. I'm thinking, I guess you would say at that moment, it's like, okay, there's still some things about me that I consider myself an open-minded person, but at that moment, it just convinced me that I still need to work, too.
You know what, like I was saying before, you don't know what you don't know, and you'll always have that, you just don't know yet. That's where the humility comes in. Because, you know, that's in order to stay in the right space to do this kind of work, I feel like you have to have that humility. You have to just be like, this is not, I'm just like, it's the same thing that any master. It's like, we're all the same. We're all moving through the same time, you know, time, space, reality, trying to figure it all out, you know. You just got to be easy with yourself. You take it as it comes. Like I said, there it was. All the stuff you've been asking for, and it didn't cost you any money. And there's your abundance. You let it in. You know, it's not always the way you think it's going to be. But when you see it, and see, in the beginning, you didn't know any of that. Now you know every time something comes to you in this nice little synchronous, you stop for a minute and you say, thanks. Thanks, angels, you know.
Right. I just want to say something real quick to everybody in the queue that we're going to get to everybody. So just be patient. We got like 56 minutes left, so don't worry.
Yeah, you can get rid of me.
Right. I was going to say that actually area code 631, if you hear me, that we're going to get to you next. So there's where to hang in. And, you know, for some reason I got so caught up in the conversation with you, I can't remember your first name.
Maggie. Yeah.
And it's like there's a big old – yeah, okay. I'll just say with the situation, that kind of stuff, that you're more welcome to stick around and listen and that kind of thing if you have any insights that you want to give yourself. But I just want to get – because the one thing about this lady with area code 631 – she's actually prompted me like 3 times, and I'm like, okay, must be something there she really wants to deal with and talk about. So,
maybe she
like
knows
I said before.
Me.
Oh, does she?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe she does. Let's find out. So, we've done the other night. We've done shows before where we sit there, and before we click on the number, we actually sit there and ask. Because I've actually had some of my friends on the show, where we sit and do readings, and or even guests, where we'll sit there and say, okay, what do you think it is? I think it's a male who's going to be asking a relationship question or something like that, and just to see our percentages on how we were right and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we actually had one night where a guy sit there and come on, he's like, I'm not a female. He said, we'll give you a question about a relationship. I'm not a female. I was like, okay, so I missed that one. But the next one that came up was, it was kind of funny how that one fell right into what I was actually picking up. So she was there. So this would be, on 631, and ask her, welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Suzanne.
How you doing, Suzanne? Where are you calling from?
Long Island.
And say hi to Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hey.
I just wanted sort of a general reading, picking up on some things. Have you seen any big changes? It was either with a job or love life or between me and my son, anything.
Okay. Anything, huh? Well, you sit here and look at the situation of your life and that kind of stuff. The first thing I keep picking up on is this thing between you and your son.
Yes.
So with the situation... How can I sit here and look at this thing? I'm just like, the word that comes up to me is conflict.
Yes.
Well, the one thing I keep getting in this situation is the idea of intentions. Exactly what do you want to do? What do you want? And then step back from the situation and ask yourself, I'm just saying, these are questions that keep coming to me that you need to ask yourself about how you're proceeding with your son. Is it something you're expecting him to do? Is it something he really wants to do? That kind of stuff. So what's the situation? What do you have going on here?
I had residential custody. My ex got it, and then things went downhill from there between the relationship between me and my son. And I don't, it talked about it. I don't think he thinks I care about him, but I do. And then his dad is saying things. There's things that I could do better, but his dad would never even talk to me. I have to fax him, and he just keeps taking me to court for my son for no reason and stuff. And, you know, he's not even going against what the stipulation I'm supposed to get him. I'm getting him less, and I have to take him to court. And it's a whole big mess, and my son's being affected by it, and I just don't know what else to do.
Well, from the situation I'm thinking of, there's nothing you can do physically. It's the ideal. Like I said before, it's intent to what you really want to do. Because what I pick up with the son is not the idea he doesn't feel like you care about him. He doesn't feel like anybody does. Realistically, when I look at the situation, I feel like we have two people here who are not really focusing on what is really good for your son. It's like you're mad. He's not getting what he wants.
That's not true. I'm focusing on what's best for my son, but my ex keeps taking me to court, and my ex won't go to counseling with me and my son or together to work as a family who's divorced, not to be best friends, but to co-parent. He says no, and I just can't say, okay, take my son. You know, every time he takes me to court, I'm trying
I can't.
Work on me and do what I can, but, you know, there's only so much I can do that way without his dad doing nothing.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's take it back and forget the husband, the ex-husband. Forget the whole thing completely. There's nothing he's going to do.
My son
lives. What I'm saying is, with the situation, ask yourself right at this moment, is there anything I can really physically do? Because
no.
It seems like it's all in legal terms here and that kind of stuff like that. But the one thing I see that I really focus on the most here is the idea you focus too much on the husband, the ex-husband.
No, I don't really. I really don't. I try to say I love you to my son and stuff and just focus and, you know, take him to see friends or to sit on TV and watch TV and let him talk about his day. I can't help focusing on my ex because he took me to court for 3 years and he took me just end of January. Now he's taking me back now and it's cost financially and it puts a lot of stress on me.
Okay. But like I said, I'm still thinking on this term about your husband's not doing anything, but just being who he is. He's always been this way in the first place. What do you think about your son?
Can't change. I'm not trying to change him, but if he keeps putting me down in front of his son and not try to enhance our relationship, it's going to ruin my son. concerned about.
Mm. What is that noise? Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to get this across with the situation that your husband's not going to ruin your son. Your son has his own little situation where he knows who he is, he knows what he wants to do. Right now he's trying to find his own place in the world too as well. So, you know, the situation seems like it's more, like I said before, you're trying to figure out the situation. So you're focusing on that.
You're saying putting me down and saying he doesn't need a mother is not going to ruin my son?
Yes, I'm going to say that right now because you know something with the situation? Your son has been taught very well by you. So therefore, he's got a mind of his own. He's going to think what he's going to think. And the situation is, okay? But he's going to continue to be who he is. You're never going to be able to change that. He's going to say those things until he's like, until your son is like in his 50s. He's just going to do that because the man does not like you, okay? And you can sit there and get defensive and get angry about the whole thing, but all you're doing is giving all that energy into the situation, which is actually diverting it and keeping it from going on where he can continue to keep doing this to you.
I get it. Can't sit there
more
and say,
angry,
oh, you don't want to keep my weekends. That's fine. That's okay. You want to keep taking me court? Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Proactive. I just can't, you know.
It might sound crazy to some people, but the idea of not putting energy into it and feeding into it, it's basically ignoring it. It's going to continue to say, that's what I'm saying. I guess it's kind of hard to sit there and look at people and say the less energy you give something, the more likely it's going to stop happening or it's just going to stop affecting you in a certain way. Because you're sitting there going, he shouldn't be saying those things. But
No, not that. He should be giving me the weekends I'm supposed to be getting that I spent $10,000 to get.
May I shove something in there? Don?
Yes, you can.
Suzanne, you know, there's two journeys you have. You have one is this emotional journey that you're on, and that has a certain thing that happens in your life. And then there's this action journey where you feel like you got to go to court, you got to do the things, you got to do what you feel as a mother you got to do. I think what might be helpful for you, and you have to be open to this, is you have to give yourself an opportunity to do something different than you have before.
Okay,
and that's to really get into a space in your emotional journey. That's before you're doing any kind of action. That you, like when Donnie's talking about that energy, he's talking about, you know, who are you feeding? You know, which side of this you're feeding? Are you feeding the thing that's actually wanting so you have the conclusion in the situation that you're going to get? Or are you feeding the other side? And you don't realize that you're doing it when you're doing it, because that emotional journey that you're on, that's I could feel it already. It's very powerful, and I get it because I went through the same type of thing recently, and you know I went through it twice in my life. One of the greatest gifts, though, is to really realize your power is in you. Only you can change the way you respond, the way that you think, the way you feel about this situation. You may not be able to change the actual court dates or the outcome based on what that action journey is just yet, because you have some transitioning to do that. But I agree with Donnie to say that your son is way more connected from a place. And you know what? From my experience, this is outside of what I'm feeling, but because I have a 12-year-old daughter who has a very difficult time going back and forth to her dad and then to me, is that but the kids love us both. They hate the situation mostly, and they feel dejected by that. I don't think, and of course that's where it comes to feel like that they don't feel loved. Mostly, loving your son is the best thing that you do. And that energy that you put there, you cannot ever make your ex-husband be anything. And he's going to be, in it, you know, doing those things that he does. But the way you respond emotionally, the way you internally, and I'm not talking about when it's happening, but all day long, that's really important for you. You got to think about shifting that little part of you in there.
No,
that's
I understand that. I got it. I understand that. I'm working on that. I definitely understand that. What I'm trying to say is, you know, He went for residential custody in Fort May. Then he got it. Now he wants me to have supervised visitation, which is absolutely insane. And now they're taking a trial because they, you know, they're just going to say that because there's no reason. There's no reports, this, that, whatever. That's what I'm saying. He keeps taking me to court. So I'm supposed to just say, okay, I'll change. Just have what you want. No. You know, and he's getting my son to say, oh, it's mom's fault. Mom's wrong with the visitation schedule when I'm not. And mom, you're taking the court, but I'm not. My ex is. And so I was taken to a therapist to show, because there's nobody on my side to show that, hey, listen, it's not just me taking the court, which is upsetting my son, and just letting us be as a family.
Well, one thing I will say to the situation is you're looking for people to be on your side, and you've had people on your, you've had entities that have been on your side for from the get-go, and I guess it's one of those things of actually focusing on them to help you with the situation that actually could turn it around, which is angels, guides, the ascended masters, the guardian angels. Everybody goes along with the whole situation of realizing you've never been alone, and that's the one thing you have to do with the situation is add that divine intervention into the whole thing and then step back from the situation to realize, like she said before, about the energy you're giving to your husband. Because while I was sitting here looking, listening to the whole thing, in the process of listening to your conversation, all I've heard about is $10,000. I've heard about how bad your husband is. I've heard the actions he's doing and everything else. But one thing I've not heard about, any on your
part. No, I understand what you're saying, but if you're spending all this time and energy going to court all the time, it does take away from my son. It takes away from food money. It takes away from living. And you know what I'm saying? I don't keep, you know. That so they, that is a, that's reality.
Well, does he, let me think here.
Yes, I can say I love my son a million times and I can do certain actions, but I just can't say, okay, I give up.
Well, in a certain way, I'm saying, yes, give it up. I'm not saying give up your son. Or just
well, what else
hold.
Do I do? That's what I'm saying is I keep getting
you're holding.
Enemy
give
court.
Up to what you're holding on to. It's that part that you have this, you know, it's like this cord, you know, like you're holding on. And you
well,
have to let
I
go
don't,
of
then
that
I lose
part.
My son.
No, I'm not saying
that's,
let go to lose
saying.
Your son. Yeah, we're saying
like,
that yeah, inside you first, before any action takes place, if you can get that part of you, because it's sort of like, if you don't do that, you're just going to keep having this. It's going to just show itself over and over and again in this different way, and you're never going to like it. It's going
to
always
keep happening. It's the hardest
thing
to do, too. Really, it is. I had the same situation with my ex-wife and my daughter. Mm-hmm. And my daughter came to me and just said, you know, it was one of those things where she felt like she wouldn't be a part of family. I was single. My ex-wife was married. So she wanted to go live with them. Now, instead
right.
of going through court, all this craziness of the situation, I decided to say, okay, my daughter wants to do this. This is what she wants to do. This is what she feels like is in her best interest.
Got it. And I did part of that for my son, but you're not going to give me supervised visitation and have me for no reason. I'm not going to just say yes to that. No way in hell. Because no, he already has my son, and if he, my son wants to
what?
Live there, okay, because maybe he's a father image or whatever it is. But no, I'm not giving that up. I don't care what anybody says.
Now, there's no reason for supervised. First of all, unless you're doing something, I mean, we only know what you're telling us, and what I'm, you know, I definitely feel that you're not a happy camper, and I get it. But they have to validate, you know, that kind of stuff. He's just, you know, it's a lot of smoke and, you know, it's a lot of drama that your ex-husband is creating. If you can pull yourself out of the drama and see it for what it is and don't participate in the drama aspect of it, you have to
I'm
just
not,
be
I'm not
centered.
In the drama thing. I have nothing to do with him except I have to fax him, like, if my son goes to the doctors, please tell me. If he's seeing a counselor and I have to pay for it, please tell me when he's going. When are you taking vacation? I'm supposed to have this weekend. You're not giving it to me, but it's my weekend, and if I keep my son, you're going to call the police, but it is my weekend, and you're saying it's not. So I have to deal with some of those things. Other than that, I have nothing to do with them.
I understand.
Okay, hold on for guys. Let the host jump in here for a second and say, hey, let's all take a deep breath and pull back on the whole thing, because I guess what we're trying to really get across here is that you're saying you're not really into the drama part, but every time you acknowledge anything he does or even acknowledging him per se, you're feeding into the drama. And what I was trying to say, and it's getting so freaking sick with the energy that you're putting out because of your you're just so mad about this whole thing and mad about this person and that kind of situation.
I'm not mad. It's that I'm getting aggravated because I don't think you're understanding that I'm not
saying
to him.
I have to fax him
about my son. I have joint custody too. I'm not a stranger to my son. We have to talk, and that's the only way you talk. The only way I talk to him. What I'm getting at is that I don't fit into the drama. I just try to do what I have to do.
I understand what you're saying, but you're also at this moment being very, very defensive. So what I'm saying is, it's one of those things of, even at this moment, I still feel that the thing that should be done is to take a step back and look at the situation and ask yourself, what is good, what is the best, what is in the best interest of your son? Because what I'm getting here, what the situation is, your husband saying, this
might
is what
have
I
him,
like.
But I also have rights as a mom. That's it.
Okay.
Be nice to him, to know that he has a parent, cherish him, but also I have rights as a mom. I can't be excluded from his life, from his dad. I have certain rights. And that's all I can do.
You don't. But my thing is, what is in the best interest of the child? What is in the best interest of your son? What is the best interest that would make him happy? Has anybody ever asked him this question?
Yeah. Sure they have.
Okay. And what is that? What is the best interest? What does he want to do?
He wants peace, and he just wants not for this to keep going on, and me and the counselor tried to explain to him, okay, it would if your dad wouldn't keep taking me to court.
So what you're saying is you brought a therapist in there to help him understand your side of the story.
That he should love his dad also and for my ex's feelings, but it just can't be all about my son and my ex.
Does anybody else hear that noise?
Yeah, a little interruption.
What is that noise? Does anybody know where it's coming from? Hello?
I can still hear you, Donnie.
Well, actually, 631 left. The thing I was trying to get across in the situation with her, if she's still listening, is the idea that as I'm hearing her talk, all she's telling me is what her rights are. And then I hear on the other side, which I can hear him, her ex-husband very clearly, he's basically dictating what he thinks is best. And in the midst of the whole thing, she got a therapist to basically talk to her, because you notice she didn't answer the question when I asked her, did you get this therapist just to take, so you'd have someone on your side to convince your son what actually came up? That's what I was trying to. I was trying to get some information. So tell me about your son. Who is your son? For some reason, I just don't feel like these parents know who their son is, and I think their son's got more of health than they're giving him credit for. So I was trying to ask her over and over again, like certain things, saying, hey, you know, I said, we need to take a step back from this. And I'm saying, the energy is very strong. You mean, because I could feel like, I know me personally, you feel like we're being pulled into this.
You know, I agree. I actually got from her, I couldn't get a chance to share that with her, but because she was pulling in her energy right now of what she actually experiences within herself in the situation. And unfortunately, because I know she's in it, and I know it's hard to separate yourself when you are in it. So we're of course looking like those objective observers, but that's why I was saying, if she can spend some time when the activity of this thing is not activated, and release herself from this hold that she's got herself snared in. And I realize that I don't feel that she's a drama type of person where she's really fueling it just like deliberately, but I actually think she's feeding it because she's holding, it's like a holding feeling. But I do get that feeling that she has, she actually has this ability, and she has, She's actually someone who is very intuitive and can, if she gives herself that opportunity. And the angels are trying to help her. She's not tuning in completely. And she knows exactly what she needs to do, not necessarily doing it, but she actually does know what it is. And I feel that she will overcome it, because I think that this is, I feel like it's a connected dots for her. When she can pull back that opportunity, when she finally does that, I think it's going to whoosh in this bit of clarity that she's looking for about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else will start falling into place.
Well, the one thing I wanted to bring to your attention was, if it's so true as you're telling us, why are you so defensive about it? Because if it was what it was, it would present itself that way, and it's not presenting that way to me. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, it's one of those things. I looked at her, and I kept on hearing about the $10,000. I kept on hearing about what her husband's doing, and just all this stuff. And then every once in a while, we hear about, I need to be there for my son. But she never really said anything about her son. That's what I wanted to get at, was I was trying to get her to say, tell me about your son. But every time we sit there and she goes, well, I have the right. Okay, you do have the right. I'm not saying you don't. I just want to hear about your son. Who is your son? Because I just feel like this man, this person she's talking about, I don't know if he's a man or not, but he seemed like he's really more mature than they give him credit for. And I just felt like, you know, what's in the best interest? What is it that really that's in his best interest? What is good for him? Because all I keep hearing about is the father says, that, you know, I'm doing what I think is in my best interest.
You know, it's funny. I get like a feeling that you know, I get like this clear, like 10-year-old image in my head. But on the other hand, I do see like what seems like that the boy might have a sense. He might himself be have a mature, like an you know, an old soul kind of feeling, because I feel like he may be playing them a little bit, two sides.
Yeah.
That happens.
If you look at the situation, it would make perfect sense that he would be playing this a little bit, because really no one's paying attention to him.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, their rights are, and, you know, like she said before, she has a right, as she says, she has parental rights to be there for him and to be there for her son. But the one thing that I saw is that she's not really being there for him. You know, it's one of those things, people look at the situation and go, I'm financially taken care of. I put a roof over his head. We also know there's this thing we call, I don't know, emotional nurturing, being there for him. Yeah, love.
But
here we go.
In this situation with her, I mean, look, she's calling into a angel, you know, round table, you know, right? She's seeking higher guidance. And that was the point I feel like you were trying to make. You're seeking higher guidance, and higher guidance is trying to offer you something, and you're not wanting to hear the higher guidance. And we talked about that before, and it's not because I don't think she really wanted to hear. I think because she held herself in that vibration, she just couldn't. She just wasn't going to tune into that at all at the moment.
I'm going to hang on to reality. And I was like, okay, that's like riding the fence.
Well, what she sees before her, she thinks this is her only reality, and it's not. I was saying that if she can release that hold, something new will start to formulate. You know, she can't manifest something new, the thing she wants to actually come about, until she lets go of that hold. And she's doing it by feeding into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I wanted to stop for a minute, because everybody's been pulling into this energy, and I just didn't want to get really irritated with her because of the energy. I could just feel the energy that she was so dead-bent on wanting to persuade us to go her direction. She's looking for alliances to be on her side.
I think she deserves, her son deserves, everyone deserves. In my intent, look, I had, you know, I made that big oak tree fall where I wanted it to when I went through my divorce this time, because I didn't want to play the game. I don't want to go into the drama. I'm not into it. I just know that I want to move out my life. We have a child to raise, and I want what's right and best for the good of all. Not just me, not just my kid, but for him too, because we all, you know, in love and light, we're all, you know, we may not want to share this physical existence with each other anymore, but that doesn't mean that the core there wasn't and there isn't still love, you know.
But too, I look at the situation too, and I see two people who still want
that connection between the two each other. Maybe they're going about it in a different way than most of us would want to do by going to court and that kind of stuff. But they're definitely keeping the connection between the two of them going on. And that's
they are, in not a good way.
When you sort of talk to her a couple of times about, you know, him, and I sit there going, you know, you need to let that go. And she goes, oh, he's sitting there telling my son this and this and this. I said, what are you going to do? What are you going to, you can't go and physically slap the man and say, stop it. And then you're going to wind up in jail.
The only power she has, she only has the power within herself. She has no power over him.
I just sit there and, yeah, I was telling her, I said, if you sit there, and the first thing came up with Michael Manger's cards was surrender and release. Surrender and release. Let it go. And then there was another card that popped up that said, truth and integrity. Be true to yourself and have integrity for yourself. Therefore, everybody else will too. And right now, she's just not doing either one of those things, and she's getting these results. I really want to go on to somebody else and see if we can actually get some positive energy going. So, not to cut you off or anything, Maggie. I'm just saying there's some people here.
Good.
I just like.
I want to bring some light back into her. I'm going to send her light while we sit here.
There you go. Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, we can do that too. Send her some energy and light and say, okay, here you go. There's some love for you, because realistically, the whole thing about this whole thing in this court case is basically a illusion. And what we need to do is get back to the love part.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the real thing. And I got someone on the line here. I don't know if it's a Skype call or a private call, but it's 11111. So you're on the air. So.
Hi, this is Candace.
Candace?
Hi.
How are you? How are you?
Good. Good. How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. I've talked to you before, right?
Yes, you have. Really great advice, too. I have a lighthearted one, a lighthearted thing.
Also, hi to Maggie, too. Hi to Maggie, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. I was so curious about this guy on Facebook who writes on my wall, has great things to say, but suddenly he started sending me, like, intimate, fun-type cards and things like that. Does he have this bad crush on me, or is this just something I shouldn't be careful of or should be careful of? Oh, I got mixed feelings about it, but I'm not, like, afraid or anything. I thought it was kind of charming at the beginning.
Well, the thing I get is you're getting a 50-50 cent. You're getting like a 50-50% on this whole thing, where you're not really sure which way you should go. So I get the impression, and what I keep getting is you shouldn't go there, because I feel like it's a person who, in some sense, where what you're picking up, he's not being totally honest with you, but it's not a bad thing. He's just hiding things about himself he didn't think you would like. But I still feel like the situation. I guess you could look at the situation, what kind of outcome you're going to get if you did pursue this. I feel like you'd have a person, for some reason, I feel like a mole. You know,
yeah.
They have a tendency to pull themselves back in there, and he would hide behind the internet.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. That was my instinct. I'm glad that you were able to feel the same thing.
What
about job
think?
Aspects? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to ask Maggie what you thought about the situation.
Sure. Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I met the love of my life on Twitter, and it was somebody that I followed because I follow this genre of stuff, and it was unexpected. But, you know, you kind of know. I mean, you know, you got to really feel how that – I always feel it in my heart chakra, you know, when something feels and it'll run up to my throat if it's really not good. And you got to use that. You know, when I was chatting with different people, and I had just people in light, hopefully, you know, that was, and I certainly was opening myself up to it. Not everything I resonated with, you know, after a while I would stop following, and you have to use that discretion, definitely. Like I said, someone might say, I can't believe you met this guy on Twitter, you know, and it's like, well, we talked for quite a while that way on Twitter, and then, you know, it evolved to, you know, where we finally did get to meet, and I Skype, and I did, you know, he lives in California, I'm in New York, and now, of course, you know, it's 2 years, and we're still, I still have the most fantastic relationship with this, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's my, you know, the love of my life, the soulmate. So, you know, I'm not saying it can't be, you know, something nice, but I'm not the kind of person to do that, and I absolutely felt it with all clarity that this was good. You know,
I do. Yeah, that's why I said I was kind of in the middle about yeah, he's a mole, but I think it's just a guy thing. Not to put men down their voice or whatever.
Don't say it's a guy. I don't like the guy thing because I'm not a mole, and I just
I don't mean like a bad mole, like just a really private guy that is a little mysterious, like women, you know, like. Maggie, Margaret. I'm sorry.
Maggie,
thank you.
I'm Margaret to some.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying with the situation that I'm just a person who likes to detail things to an individual basis, not a man or a female thing, because I've seen females who act like males and vice versa.
No, I agree with you. I'm just using it as a general guide tool to understand something. Sometimes I just have a creative way of saying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people can hide behind. Yeah, people can do it.
Because the thing that came to me when I was listening to Maggie tell you, was giving her insights, the whole thing was the ideal that you need to judge this because what you feel, more what you feel it, instead of judging it because of what you've been through.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes we have a tendency to do that where we're looking at a situation in person, but we're judging it because of what we've been and all that baggage we got with us, instead of looking at the person for what they really are. Because sometimes we got to watch that, too, because in a sense, that's a disrespectful thing to judge somebody because of what somebody else did to us and to sit there and treat
them. Exactly. No, I agree. I would like to meet him.
And then with this guy here, I just feel like, I just feel like he's a mole and he's a person who's scared death of women. And this is an easy way to talk and really get into the whole thing. But when it comes to physical sense of actually meeting people and that kind of stuff, I just feel like I just see a lot of things where it's going to be a constant, like, why didn't he show up? Why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that?
Lie.
Right, and it's not really lying. It's basically saying I had all intentions
of doing
those. I just didn't follow through with it.
That's what I mean, but best of intentions means a lie sometimes, too. I mean, you can't lead people on.
That's
lying to someone, right?
Right.
So, I don't project it on my past relationships at all. I just don't like people who are going to manipulate that way, and whether male or female to each other, it's wrong.
Oh, I know.
Very, very wrong.
I'm
listening.
Yeah, because sometimes we get into situations, sometimes it's like an automatic response. Sometimes there's something, even if it's a little niche, will come to the forefront and say, okay, I remember that Joe did this to me. Just for that 1 minute, that can actually spin into something that could be more. Because it taps on the other fears. We don't want to, I'm just saying we don't want to do that. You know, I'm just saying there's somebody else I feel like closer to you that's coming to you. So therefore, I just don't see you meeting somebody in through one of these little sites and stuff. Because the first thing that came to me was, I just basically took myself off all these dating services. I took myself off of them. And then I met this girl in England through Skype, which doesn't cost me nothing.
I love it.
So, you know, with the situation, and we've kicked it off, and we've had a lot of things and stuff. And, yes, it's a very long-distance relationship, but I've also been in situations that I did use from the past that worked out. They were negative situations, but I saw positive in them that would come to me and say, okay, this is going to work out. Well, see, that brought a lot of positive thinking because I went from, in a past relationship, I went from 1,200 miles to being 12 miles, and then we came together. So I just look at these situations, that the opportunity happened, this person's crossing my path and everything's going good, and that we should let that go, because I did have a problem with it where I was like, okay, everything's going so good, and for some reason it's upsetting with me, right, because it's not because it's a bad situation or the person's not telling me the truth. It was because I've never been in that position before. It was unusual. It was like I've never been in a situation where things are actually working out pretty good. So I had to take a step back.
I know that's really.
Right. Is anything else wrong or not like that? There's not. So I sit there and go, let's just go with the flow. And that's the thing I got from my angels and my guides were sitting there going, in the process of letting these things happen so you guys can be together, you need to let go.
Right.
Which has been the format today.
Experience can be your best teacher.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the advantages of a long-distance relationship in today's world is I spend, I'm telling you, 4 hours at least a day face-to-face. It happens because of our time frame that we can actually have morning, afternoon, and evening time, that we have more intimate dialogue and eye-to-eye contact than I've ever had in anybody in my entire life, that kind of relationship. Because Skype forces you to look at each other and talk to each other.
There's so many free things to do. You got Skype, you got Yahoo Video, you got Messenger.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should look at the situation and go, oh. And the reason I do that, because when I was, I doubted, there was one dating service I was on called mate1.com. Mm-hmm. Everybody I met on that whole thing was from Guyana.
Mm.
And they were always asking for money. And they were, and it was like, I met, what was it? I met three girls in 3 days, well, in the same day. And every one of them said, I'm living in Guyana, what is it, Guyana? Or no.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in South Africa. Yeah, in South Africa. And also freaked me out about the whole situation was before, well, it was a bottle, and it was always the same story. I moved here with my mom, my dad died, and then my mom was killed in a car accident 2 weeks ago. I'm sitting there going, can you guys come up with a better story? And, so, you know.
That's hilarious.
Her name is Ruth, and talk all the time. And she's right. We work. We talk on Skype, and we can, you know, you take more time to actually look at each other and pay attention to each other, so you actually get to know each other better.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to meet someone like that. That is very interesting, and I'm so glad it worked out for both of you at that time, and you had a new direction. I could go for that myself. But and I have hope. I'm not worried.
Right.
It'd be nice to have someone in your backyard down the road or somewhere far, too, that's not too far in car distance.
It helps.
So that's kind of nice. Yeah, it helps. It helps. So.
Meeting somebody and running into somebody, that's what I got with you. It was like running into them physically. So it can't be on the internet because that's the physical thing kind of gets knocked out. But I just feel like that. Because to me personally, I've had some readings I've done with this one lady in particular. She had a long-distance relationship with this one guy for 8 months, and they only lived 20 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, cool.
And the guy had never even mentioned at one time we should meet or we should go on webcam.
Wow.
It was all done over the internet. No cams, no nothing. Just typing back and forth. And I said, you know something, I really feel weird about this situation because I just feel like this guy's really hiding. And all the physical evidence was there, too. I'm just saying. But I just looked at her and it said, and we're going to see each other this month. I'm going to drive down there. So I just started noticing this lady is doing everything, and he's not doing anything.
Mm.
And like I told her before, coming from a man's point of view, not asking for webcams, not asking to meet each other and that kind of stuff, it just didn't seem like to me like it was a person. It was almost like even when they talked to each other, he seemed really, really, how you put this, and he was real constructive with the way he talked.
Very sweet with words.
Right. So it seemed like to me it was like, to me when I hear people say and talk like that, we really don't talk like that, where we construct everything we say. We're very spontaneous about how we do things, especially when we're in relationships. So I told her, I said, you need to meet each other right now. And he's canceled a couple of times. I just feel like he's going to cancel that one, too. I've never heard anything from her since, but I'm hoping it went good.
Yeah,
I just felt like you look at him and go, gosh. So, you're going to meet someone really quick. And I just feel like in the next month. Also, with the situation with your finances and that kind of stuff, finances are kind of scattered back and forth and up and down, and they will level up.
Oh, thank you. I'm on a fixed income trying to find a job so I get on my feet.
Well, you should also focus on the idea of focusing on something that's part of you as well, because you're very talented.
Yes, I have. I've got some talent in writing, and lately I noticed that people enjoy my video stories. Like, you know, I'll write a caption and put a video to it. So I'm going to go into going back to school in the future once I can get a job and more financially stable so I can pay to go to school. because I want to learn.
All I'm saying with the situation is open your mind up to the possibility of how those things can happen. They're looking at the world way because the world can stand in your way of keeping you from what you're retaining because they keep saying, like we're talking about Doreen Virtue, and Doreen Virtue had a story where she was going to school to become a psychotherapist, and her teacher told her she would never become a psychotherapist until she graduated. Well, what she would do is she would use this as motivation. And what she did was she went out and found a job at a hospital as a psychotherapist 4 months before she graduated. So she didn't listen to the world. The world was going to say, well, you need to do this. And she's like, I'm going to go do this. And if you read some of her books, you'll see in her books where she's kind of like, she does it her way. And it's all about intentions and focusing and manifestation. So, you know, we all think that we have to have money to start businesses when it's just the idea of having the thought and the intent.
No, you're right. That's so true. Yeah. I believe in that too. My only weakness is for myself, which is my own I don't know why type feeling. I can focus really well on something. I don't get bored of it. I don't know. Circumstances happen, and I become a defeatist attitude, and I'm trying so hard to change that. You know,
right.
And sometimes I just feel like it's a losing battle why I get in these situations. I see the reasons sometimes why, but I just can't understand.
And so take a step back and look at what you just said,
mm-hmm.
and then try to take that whole situation you just said about how it can work against you and that kind of stuff, and you take that one little statement, turn it into a positive affirmation.
What was your last sentence? I'm hearing like a car background.
Okay.
Like a window open.
You need to take that one statement you said that was kind of a negative thing and turn it into a positive affirmation to propel you.
Okay.
What you want.
How would I do that for that situation if I think I just can't seem to get rid of that?
It's like the situation. Look at one like this and go, okay, the world is against me. So you just change
right.
it and say, okay, the world always works for me in every sense of the word.
Okay. I'll start saying it more often.
Or I sit there and look at the situation and say, I now have all the money I need and my personal needs and my family.
Right, great.
Okay. I am financially independent as I was meant to be.
If you're
focusing on opportunities and investments and that kind of stuff to start your own business and that kind of stuff, then you turn it in. I just have a journal of my own where I sit there and write these things down, which I haven't done that. And I've also noticed that things have kind of slowed down. So now it's like you're doing it again. I just want to say to everybody out there who's listening, who's in the queue right now, if you just hang out with me, I will get to every one of you guys, even after the show's over with, okay? So hang in there and be patient to get to everybody. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you both.
Bye, Candace.
It was really good, and it was really inspiring. So have a good weekend. God bless. See you guys later another time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, definitely call us back and tell us how things are going. And if you have any more questions, please call, okay?
All right. Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Let's see here. I'm trying to focus and go. Okay. Area code 804. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I am good, Donnie. How are you?
I'm doing good. And man, who's calling?
This is Stan. I haven't talked to you in about 3 months. But I was this guy. I'm this guy that's doing this cross country motorcycle thing. And
okay.
Yeah, last time I talked to you, I was in Santa Fe getting ready to go to Minneapolis, and now I've left Minneapolis. I'm in Mitchell, South Dakota. Heading toward Wyoming. And life is good.
Beautiful country out there too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I was on the Mississippi River this morning. I was on the Mississippi River this morning. So I put in a long mm-hmm. day today. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also say hello to Maggie. God, something that's hard to say.
Hi.
Hello, Maggie. How you doing? This is Stan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Stan.
So should I ask a question, or how do you want me to do this?
Well, Stan, it's whatever's comfortable for you. But, you know, if you want to ask a question, go right ahead.
OK, Okay, I'll throw one out there. Just wanted to know what either one of you might be getting from you know, my team out there that I'm not getting that may be good for me to know right now as I'm moving forward and leaving myself open to whatever shows up.
Okay. All the support out there. Huh? You've been on the road for a while too, haven't you?
Since November.
November. No, sitting going okay. I remember. You were talking about your being on that motorcycle of yours and going around the thing and having some problems and a little bit of doubts here and there. But. I can definitely feel tired. There's a lot of things with guidance that just keeps coming around you. I think I understand what you're saying. You're asking the question, but I'm not sure. It's a little bit of clarity, I guess. That's okay. So I was picking up on angels and guides and stuff, people around you as support. Then I was kind of wondering if that was the kind of support you're actually talking about.
Anybody in particular showing up? Stepping forward.
Back to the first one that came to me was Archbishop Michael.
You said Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's one of those things of actually in the pursuit of your travels and kind of thing like that was like ending and letting go of certain places and certain situations. That's what I can get. And since the word too, this trip that you have going on seems like a very healing situation with you too, right?
Oh yeah, it's been full of a lot of releasing and healing and evolving and downloads and everything. I mean, it's just been pretty awesome, incredible. I feel like I've been going through a series of initiations, one after another.
Right. I got Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael. I got Gabriel, too. And then Uriel. Uriel came to the forefront. I've always seen his strength. Gabriel is always...
I got Asriel. And I have to check out. I just didn't want to leave rudely. But I got Archangel Asriel offering comfort.
You got Asriel, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asriel showed up a couple of times before, but it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
So you needed a hug. And you got one.
Well, I appreciate that. Sometimes it just, it's very full and sometimes it feels very empty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all good, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, I remember the traveling myself. Hitchhiking and that kind of stuff, or it just seemed like there was some nights where I'd be sitting on the highway going, there's not a soul in sight, but it seemed to resonate with me in a very positive way. So when you have those moments where you sit and realize you've never been alone.
Yeah.
Right, you know, I've had these moments, well, like when I'm tired, that I feel like I'm alone. And then I've had moments of revelation, like getting out of the shower one morning and I realized that I've got all of my helpers, beings, my teammates, whatever you want to call them, around me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that sometimes I forget, you know, that they're there.
Yeah, it happens. I'm Aguila.
But they're always there. They're always coming from a place of unconditional love, and they're not judging me ever. So I like to remember that because I tend to be hard on myself. Well, not so much anymore. I used to do that a lot, but I've evolved quite a bit. I've evolved quite a bit.
All right.
Well, yeah. I have a question. If I could, maybe I could throw that out. It might stir up something. I feel like there's a woman going to be showing up soon. That's you know, one of those ones you've been waiting a long time to show up.
Right.
I just wondered if either one of y'all are getting anything on that. At all.
Mm-hmm. Well, Maggie's not with us anymore. I guess she had to leave because I don't see her on the queue and I don't hear her anymore. But
oh, okay.
The one thing I got was June. I've got a big old connection with June. I keep getting mid-June.
Yeah.
Actually, on the 21st.
Yeah.
I don't get a description about nothing or no. I want that kind of situation, but I definitely feel like it's something that you've been waiting for, that when it's like a connection of realization.
Yeah. Are you getting any kind of scene around this at all, Donnie, like where or any kind of description about it? Feeling about it?
Well, that's when I say I get a good feeling about it, where it's a good feeling. I get that, but I just... The thing that comes to me the most is the idea of looking at the situation of where you're going to look at it, where you're going to feel. It's like, you have these things that are going on, feelings and that kind of stuff. But when you meet her, then you get that sense of calmness. That is, you know, how would you put this? It's like the idea that in the process of the anticipation of waiting, and you meet this person, you don't have that anymore.
Right.
You know that, you know for a fact this is a person that all this, I guess, some of those anxieties that brought out too as well.
Right. Well, listen, I really appreciate it. It's nice to talk with you. I haven't tuned in a while, and it's I like your laid back way of doing things. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome.
All right, pal.
But you're gonna have a great time with this woman. That's what I get.
Super. I appreciate it. You have a good evening. Okay.
Oh, you too, man. Thanks for calling. Nice hearing from you.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's see. Let's go on to area code 928. How are you tonight?
Fine, how are you?
I do not know.
It's
been pretty intense and stuff. And so what's your name?
Teresa.
You say Lisa?
No, Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A. Teresa Sixbury. That's all right.
Teresa.
interesting show you had there. I didn't listen to your show before, so I didn't know the rules, but I got quite a few hits on quite a few things, so I'll definitely tune in again, see if I can help. But anyway, I need the help right now. I have been talking to my angels. I was in the mountains for 7 months, and I've been home for 2 months now. I went a couple of days ago to California. I have a very close friend that's dying of liver cancer. Started getting better and just, you know, let go of all the spiritual stuff and holistic stuff and everything. And now he's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. Before I went, everything, I was flowing heavily in knowing. I just knew everything. And there was a lot of peace in my life and a lot of opportunities. And, like, just today, I feel like my whole world has crashed down around my feet. I'm just looking at this going, I don't accept this. Come on, angels, help me out here. You know, I manifested this, and not out of selfishness. I manifested it out of need, not necessarily want. And all the readings that I'm doing for other people, I've been doing for 20 years, and I've never charged a dime. And they're telling me, you have to charge, you have to charge. This is, it's time. And I've had a couple of psychics tell me that as well. And the city where I live, there's not a lot of this. I don't have anybody to talk to about this stuff here. That's why I've been calling in. So I made a commitment to my angels when I came home from the mountains. And I said that I would try being a guest on some shows, which I've done. and that I would start my own show. And it's the next day after I came back from the hospital from Newport Beach, I came home yesterday, was fine, but I felt a pull, and I felt pains in my physical body that I've never had before. So I got rid of that real quick. And I realized that I really think I need some help and someone to tell me what they see, because I know I'm not above a wrong perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's real hard to read myself sometimes. So I've just been in a lot of prayer. I've been in a little bit of fasting for the first time since 2008. And my whole world, my whole life is completely different than it was just a couple of years ago, just 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a good life, and it's all what I manifested. I work with rocks and gems and minerals, and 7 months out of the year I go gold prospecting. And I spend most of that time just me and my angels and some good people that are not needy and they take good care of themselves. They have a different spiritual life than I do, but I'm intriguing to them, and they're just as intriguing to me, you know. And we don't force anything. There's a lot of easygoing time and whatnot. I don't know if it's just the vibes from Mother Earth or if it's the vibes from the three, you know, things that have happened in the last 72 hours that, you know, it just caused like $1,000 to go right out the window. And I didn't have the money, but I manifested it. It was a gift. And it's just totally gone. And I was looking at receipts about an hour ago, and I said, this just doesn't add up. And I looked at my bank, and it's $160 overdrawn. And my bank is telling me, oh, no, those are being credited back. You know, it's just the way the money fell. And I said, well, my money doesn't fall like that. I've been banking with you guys for a long time. So then, you know, I was talking to the banker, and I started to get frustrated, and I just put it on mute for a minute, and I said, angels, please help me. So I got back on there with the banker, and they said, we're going to get you a $10,000 personal loan. Well, first of all, I just paid off 30 years worth of debt, of cards and cars and all that. I don't want to do that again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken a long time to learn to instantly manifest what I need and why I need it. And it's a trick for me, because sometimes my brain will tell me, oh, I need $100. Well, no, what I need the $100 for is some buffing wheels or some diamond polish or whatever, right? And so I learned to operate in that realm like that and speak out what I need. This is what I need. Sometimes I write it down. Earlier you said something to someone about your flow had kind of slowed down because you haven't been journaling your business journal. And
mm-hmm.
and I thought, aha, that was a key for me. So,
right.
And like I have some opportunities. I have a stone out there that's extremely rare, and I'm getting it, I got it appraised at 5,000 a carat uncut. And
mm-hmm.
people are offering me $260 a carat. I mean, that's rude. You could at least offer me half, you know. And this is the first time I dealt with this much big money like this on a object from the earth. And it is a very, very rare stone. So I'm
mm-hmm.
like, no, just send it, bring it back to me, send it back to me, UPS, whatever, make sure you insure it, and just get it back to me. I'll just sit on it for another year. I'll just put it back on my altar. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I'm like, my question to my angels, I feel like they're not listening to me right now. And I feel like I did something wrong by going and visiting my friend. My car died as soon as I got back. It's going to cost me $600 to get that fixed. You know, I just got in a position in my life where I had a couple $100 a month left over, you know, and now this happens. And I'm like, oh, my God. And they want me to go back to the hospital, you know. And I found out my friend was just playing some games. Yes, granted, he is dying and he's very, very sick. And he's probably got about 6 more months, maybe 3 to 6. So, you know, they said, we'll notify you when he goes on hospice. How's that? And I said, that works for me. You know, but he's telling me he wants to get healed, but he won't let go of the anger and the rage and the, and he had that way before he got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what do I need to do? What, you know, I feel like I messed something up or did something wrong, and I don't, I'm a really strong woman. I don't usually cry. And until I started talking about this, I didn't realize it was so heavy and so taking up so much space in my head.
No, it's okay. It's one of the situations that it's almost like a sign in itself of crying as a releasement, of letting things go.
Yeah.
So when you sort of look at the situation, that's what I got the most was that release, let go, and the situation will fall and
yeah.
put itself out. Because it's like, it's like one of those things, like you're getting to continue to go and follow through what you've been doing, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like the impression of what's important to you.
Yeah. Well, life is very important. When someone asks me for my help spiritually, you know, and they tell me they're not ready to cross over, well, you know, I do all I can for them. I have a reputation of being brutally honest. And it's not the first time that I've been in this position. I've been helping people for 10 years that are, you know, at that store.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pretty calling, but you've got to do it. And I guess, you know, I always figured because I lived through cancer and chemotherapy 3 different times that, and I've been clinically dead 3 times that, you know,
mm-hmm.
the angels picked me because of that. And because I signed up for all this, I guess.
Mhm. Well, that's one of those things too. You got to realize that the angels didn't pick you; they were just always there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of picked them.
Yeah. Like you heard that freaking saying that says, "God knows before you ask."
Yeah.
And God gives angels charge over you.
Yeah.
So it's always like. The idea of the format of the guardian angels and what they're there for, but you know, in so many levels. Because, I mean,
yeah.
like you were sitting there talking before, the first thing I got was just the idea of surrender and release. It's just so much stuff that you're still hanging on to, and it's kind of blocking the idea of giving yourself in a loving way. Where sometimes you
yeah.
have a tendency to get angry. And so, you know, it's one of those situations where you said, you're talking about this friend of yours that you went to go visit.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I guess you get the impression that somewhere along the line you felt like you'd done something wrong there.
Yeah, I felt like I did something wrong. You know, I didn't realize it was the medication, and I couldn't quite tell myself that I was discerning correctly when I physically saw his medical status. And I
mm-hmm.
saw, you know, in 2 years he lost 100 pounds. You know,
mm-hmm.
he weighs 87 pounds, and he's 6'5". And, you know, it devastated me when I saw him. So I told the angels, I said, please help me. I don't want to scare him. I came here to love him or help him to the other side, whatever, whatever, whatever. But there has to be an even flow with this. Help me not be afraid. And I was constantly in dialogue with demons the whole time. And it shook me. It really shook me. I didn't think he was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got, so one of the nurses that came in to give him the morphine, I said, oh, demon, go away. I'm not talking to you in the name of Jesus. I have no business with you, and you have none with me. So go and leave my friend. And the nurse
mm-hmm.
goes, yeah, in the name of Jesus. And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, my God, please don't say anything to the floor charge nurse. And I said, about what? And she said, I can't do this. I can't do this, but every time I come to this room, I have to do this. And I said, I understand. I'm not going to say anything about it. You know, why would I? But, you know, she was already under the gun, so to speak, at work, because she prayed for people that were, you know, having a demon issue. And she mm-hmm. is a nurse. I said, honey, you get paid for this. I don't get paid for this. You know, mm-hmm. so you go ahead. You handle it the best way you know how. But, you know, I guess I wasn't ready for that, even though in my heart, I knew the possibility was there. And I know that feeling the universe gives me when I'm about to go into a situation, and that is the scenario. It's a really mm-hmm. special, special kind of love that I've grown to know. And I believe he's going to be okay for the most part. Things are just not going to go the way he wants them to, that's all, because he won't make up his mind. And so, I sent him a message, and I told him that, and he just wrote me back, and he said, I love you, I'm so sorry. He said, I am so beside myself, and I don't know what to let go of. And I said, let go of everything. If you can't make up your mind, just let it all go and ask for one thing that you want. And he said, I want health. So mm-hmm. and I told him, I said, you ask for that, you're going to have to learn to be responsible for it. You have to be responsible for what you ask for in this lifetime, just like I do or anybody else does. So I said, you might not make it around again. So, you know, I have his trust. And whatnot, and that part of it I believe is okay. My thing is okay. What just happened? What just happened to this $1,000 that I manifested in 2 days? I manifested this money and then some. And it's gone. I have $26 in my purse, and I need mm-hmm. 500 more to fix my car that was fine. I thought it was fine yesterday when I came back from California. But it's not, because the rear seal is going out. It's leaking oil really bad. You know, I don't want to do the whole car payment routine and all that stuff again. I don't want to borrow money from the bank. And when I was on the phone with the banker, when I called to see what was wrong with my account, they said, oh, it's just, you know, the way it fell. And they said, oh, well, here, hold on for a minute. We'll give you a $10,000 line of credit. And I talked to him a little bit, and I said, I don't know about this. And I mm-hmm. told my angels, I said, I need help with this, angels. And the lady goes, what? And the phone went dead, and they haven't called me back. So I'm pretty happy about that.
That's an answer. I've had this up before, too, when I was sitting there trying to do something on the computer and stuff like that, and talking to this grub and talking to an English, and she's like, is this a sign? I said, yeah, but I don't know what you think it is. It's just a sign saying that we need to be working and focusing on our lives, because we've kind of, like, in the process of getting to know each other, we haven't gotten
yeah.
anything done. Those things. So you look at them for what they are. You don't sit there and go, oh, maybe the rest will be together. No, that's not what it's saying. That's too obvious. It's like looking at the situation going, don't you have some painting to do? And I got some work to do today. So the angels are saying, go, do what you got to do, and we will still be there. So you got to look at the situation too. So learning how to follow through the guidance again and get back on path, because I've had this a couple times myself where it's like, what's wrong? What's the situation? What's up? And it's just the ideal, simple, not listening.
So I'm not listening?
Yeah, it's the ideal. So, okay, you're not listening in the sense of it's simple. The situation take a look at the situation and certain things that are going on. They're going to happen. There are certain things that are just going to happen, and there's nothing you really do about it. There isn't.
Okay.
So it's really listening to yourself and listening to your angels and say, okay. It's like surrender and release, like I was telling the other one. Surrender and release. Let it go. I've had the same thing with my daughter, where it's like she's going to make decisions. She's going to do what she wants to do. Even if tomorrow she made a decision and she got killed in a car accident or someone killed her. What could I have done differently? Nothing.
Yeah.
It happened. They were supposed to happen. And what are the angels there for? To help us deal with these situations and get through them quicker.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I'll definitely try to spend a lot more time this evening and talking to them and listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already told once today, but I just now realized that I was so busy physically, I just didn't even listen. And they said, we have this under control. You're not wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. Just relax. Give us a little bit of time.
Yeah.
It seems like, huh?
I feel like the same way. I don't see anything you've done wrong. I think it's one of those things you felt guilty because you can't get through to your friend and I guess be more helpful. But
yeah.
It's like looking at the situation and saying, you don't know how helpful you really have been.